If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
First things first.
As a country, we are besieged by press conferences that happen at hotels. Hey?
Abo Birchwood.
You know? Birchwood. Muhuru. Orange. 15 on orange. Svelelwe. Hey? Back to back. Big. Anyway, on Saturday, the DA decided to host a press conference because a 48-hour ultimatum had lapsed. They had President Cyril Ramaphosa at gunpoint. And Davaz was like in the staring. Was shala, la, 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 la. And nothing happened. Anyway, here's what they had to say.
We've been trying to dialogue with the ANC in the government from the beginning, and they flatly ignore us. That's why we have to go to court. We only go to court because they flatly ignore us in government, where we are a crucial partner, where we bring the numbers to keep Cyril Ramaphosa in power. They flatly ignore us. They carry on as if they've got a 51% majority, which they don't have. And we are not going to make it easy for them to bring the EFF and MK into government. If the EFF and MK come into government, every single person in this country will suffer. The value of the rand will go through the floor. Investment will be withdrawn. Your pension will be worth a fraction of what it's worth now, and unemployment will skyrocket. That is what we know will happen if the EFF and MK come into government. And we promised South Africans that we would not let that happen. We're not going to make it easy for the ANC to ignore us by simply walking out. They're going to have to fire us, but we're very close to firing the president. Very close.
Okay, so that particular clip is not necessarily from the press conference, but that is Helen Ziller speaking about leaving the GNU, right? Now, it's obviously a game of brinksmanship. Let's just go back a little bit. When the MK was formed, they said that they were forming to save the ANC. EFF was forming because they didn't believe in the ANC, but also they'd been kicked out. But essentially, the reason why both these two parties stayed out of the government of national unity is because they didn't believe in the unity, first of all, and they didn't believe in the other members of the GNU. Now, I don't know if he planned this, but this has played directly into Cyril's hand, in that he gets to benefit from the leverage that MK and EFF give him without even agreeing with them.
Yeah.
The DA came on board. Now the DA wants to leave, but they cannot, because they know that if they leave, MK and EFF are right there to step in, and they've got the numbers that can make this thing work. In fact, they'll take this government to a two-thirds majority. Well, if you add the ancillary parties, or not 0.3, lava bakwele all over, right? And so as a result, the DA finds itself stuck in this relationship that they constantly complain about.
Yeah.
I can tell you that last week, Helen Ziller wanted to leave the GNU. The person who wanted to stay was John Steenhuisen.
Yeah.
They started having this discussion from Thursday afternoon. Helen Ziller went to try and convince some of the federal members, and I guess she lost, because ultimately what ended up happening is they stayed. But boy, are they upset.
You know, I think if anything, these exchanges between the ANC and DA are teaching us about human relations in general. Don't overplay your hand, even if you believe you're in a position of strength, which is what the Democratic Alliance believed. But you need to keep the threat of "I'm leaving" as a trump card for emergency situations. But they've used it so much that the ANC is always now, or has almost gotten used to the threat, and they're now saying, "Dala what you must." And unfortunately, they're now in a position where they say, "Hambage," and then say, "No, we're not leaving. We're not leaving. You're going to have to fire us." Even in relationships, mantandana, same thing. Don't use that threat. Hold on to it, eh?
And that's the thing about leverage. Leverage is only powerful if you don't use it, Saul. So if I know, for example, that you did something and I'm blackmailing you, I always go, "Saul, do this thing, otherwise yakumbul." Then you threaten, "We're going to go June, July, then you're going to do everything I say."
Yes.
But if I say, "Saul, I'm going to go report you right now," then you go, "Okay." And then I come back the following day and I didn't report you.
Ah.
home.
Then it's over.
Then it's over.
It's over. You lose your leverage. And that's the thing. They bluffed and ANC called, well, Cyril called their bluff, and now they've been caught exposed. And it loses its effect and its thing when you keep on threatening and threatening it. Because now, surely, Cyril is aware now. For sure, if he had any doubt that he can do anything and they're not going to leave the GNU. Because they desperately need to be in there to protect the interests of those that fund them. So I don't know. I don't even understand who Helen reports to if she thinks she could have yanked the DA out of the GNU.
Now, Mpo, here's the thing. I want to take us to another press conference that happened on Friday. Which is the Floyd Shivambu, the weekly one.
The week.
Now, you know, I was thinking, what game is he playing at? And I think he understands, for example, that this party that he's forming may not be bigger than MK. It may not be bigger than EFF.
Mm-hmm.
But he's counting on two things. That it will be something. When they were going to negotiate to be part of the GNU, he was leading those negotiations for the EFF. And there was a disagreement between him and Julius Malema about how that should be handled.
Okay.
Obviously, they end up going with what Julius said. So they stayed out of the GNU. Likewise, if they had gone into a GNU with MK because he was an SG, he would have been leading those negotiations. But that didn't end up happening.
Mm.
What he's going to get now, even if he just gets 1% or 2%, he's going to get to negotiate on his own terms and take whatever little leverage he has with him. Mm. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a 12% party, a 13% party. It is Kwame Jesame Sncane that I'm going to come with. And I think he sees that the DA keeps overplaying their hand and they're going to falter. And perhaps if he's lucky, and I use the word lucky in inverted commas because it's not a lucky thing, it's not a good thing to happen, but if President Zuma were to pass away before the next general elections, then he stands to benefit from that.
I agree with you completely. But you know, the sad thing about Floyd, I feel like he would have to win the people first before that can happen. It's the same thing with what Helen Zille is doing now. It is, for me, from the outside looking in, it is very divisive speak in the sense that if you're going to say, if us, in inverted commas, white people are not involved in government, then this country, iyashabalala. It's not a good thing to be saying, especially when you're trying to court the black majority. So I think Floyd still has a lot of work to do in order to win the people that he wants to vote for him, especially if you're going to be going on Twitter, ulogulwana everybody. Same thing that we saw happening with Musi just before the elections, where you were busy with tours that did not work out well for him. So I think, yeah, Floyd might have to sit back, but Helen Zille and I must just be strong.
So let us know, what are your thoughts? Funny enough, Helen Zille is the more dominant, I guess, leader in the DA.
She is the DA.
Yeah. Even though she's not the leader of the DA. But Helen Zille is a person that holds more weight. It's just a pity she wasn't able to convince the federal members to leave the GNU. I wanted them to leave because I'm going to come with a piece. But yeah, well.
Drama.
Let us know what your thoughts are.
I'm so disappointed in the economy. It's so white to a point whereby they see ELO and black unit as a threat. So they'd rather just wuthi rand liwe yonke into ishabalale because of black is uniting. Our economy is what?
I'll go further. Not only do you see black unity as a threat, but they know that they can make the calls to keep black leaders out of power simply because they control the money. Money is everything. Power is nothing. I tell people all the time. Walk around thinking you got power. Ungenamali.
But Sizwe, is it really the identity or the race, or here it's the policies of these two political parties that they are worried about as the Democratic Alliance?
It's the race.
No, but the policies as well. They've stated the nationalization of mines. These are some of the issues they have. Because you've got black parties. Songezo Zibi's in the GNU.
Songezo Zibi is not black when he's speaking about these things, man.
Oh, wow. Policy.
No, it's not policy.
It's the pan-Africanist element and the policies there.
Lalela. You see, wealth in this country goes along racial lines. Now, that's not to say there won't be outliers. Yes, you will get some black people with money. But generally speaking, wealth goes along racial lines in this country.
I was watching The What Now by Trevor with Dan Coder and Eugene Koza. That episode just showed how a white person sees black, and now they've redefined it to crime. And that's what Helen is doing now, to say that the rent is going to be dragged on the floor should it be that, you know, black people take over. We are black. We are the majority of this country. You can't think of us as uneducated. And that's why the DA is never going to win.
And by the way, Mpundo, to further emphasize my point, if Zongas was black, he would have received black money. He didn't.
No,
he got white money.
No. But if you've got a lot of people, if you say money's in the hands of the white majority, they generally would fund all the black parties. Herman Mashaba will get a bit.
All the black parties that don't threaten them. Nobody's going to plan something that's going to dispossess them of their wealth. Are you colored?
No, Cesar, but I feel as though we're trivializing the main aspect here, which is the argument around the composition of a cabinet, that it is the president's prerogative, but they felt in the context of a GNU, they should have been consulted. Because yes, Siyahleka, it was dala what you must, you threatened, overplayed your hand. But if we look at the principle, was that a fair move to make, though?
Of course it was. Your invitees. I hate to have to quote Colin Malaji on this. But these guys are just invitees. They are part of the GNU. They don't run the GNU. But God, when president is a consultant, what are they going to do?
Because it's a GNU. It's a new context now. It's your prerogative, but as kulum.
To show you, which you nothing. Look now. The president dallied his move. Wenzan.
Hey,
you did nothing and took it. Because you are nothing.
I mean, I fail to understand why people are throwing tantrums when they are in the wrong. I don't think the president made a wrong call. It was not personal, it was procedural. So they just need to sit down, you know.
100%.
Oh, the DA is not going anywhere, guys. They actually have much more to lose than anyone else if they walk out. Because remember, the DA represents whiteness, which are the people who are running this economy. So by positioning themselves in the GNU, they have both the power to run the markets and the political spectrum. So without politics, their markets are really weak, because there's no political decision that will actually look after their interest. So
morning, guys. I hope la video ya abuti ole wa hamzu ana itsa sikipe amuthu ancestry. That's king ANC to DA. Sikipe. That's ANC to DA.
That's right.
Yeah, I hear you, and man, even myself, I was surprised with what happened after Woodfield got kicked out. I think what the DA should have done, should have set him down and find out what did he do, and then from there come back and try to speak with the president. But so far, it just sounds like they're just desperate to be in power. That's it. The DA, of course.
They know exactly what he did. And furthermore, right, the president spoke to John Steenhuisen and told him he was going to remove him as a minister. And he asked John Steenhuisen to give him another name to replace him with. John Steenhuisen, okay, what doesn't gun. But that's what happens. F students.
I love the naivety and the thinking that no, it's not race. Whereas at the base of it all, it's the race. White people already feel ostracized, even though they control every means of production in the country. The white fragility and all of this. And if we have black unity amongst all the political parties, black political parties, if they unite, they fear the worst, because they know what they did to the black majority of this country. And it's always at the back of their mind that should we unite and speak with one voice, we might do to them what they did to us. Hence the black fear.
The DA definitely has overplayed its hand. They shouldn't have used the threat all along, but they have now. They have to kind of stick with it. But it's even surpassed that point, because no one cares. Like, it's like they're just those 2 hours that, you know, just making noise, you know, and then the pit bulls are like, oh, well, do what you will. But they just keep on just backing, making noise. Really ineffective. Actually, it doesn't matter what they do from here on. You know, they've put themselves in that position. As of Floyd Omunye Loyonai, who's overplayed his hand, was supposed to be quiet the entire time, but he's been busy making all these noises, lying to us about consultations, when we know clearly, he just wants to start a party. He should have just started the party or waited a little bit and then started the party, because that's ultimately, that's why this thing is going.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.